Welcome into Petty Page and the Cold Taker. I'm the host, Paige DeMacos, here with Fred Siegel. I am currently trying to stay alive in Phoenix, Arizona, because it is very hot. But Fred is in South Florida and hanging out. Fred, how you doing?
Very good. I don't know what it's like in Phoenix, but South Florida is the worst. There is nothing worse, but I'm used to it. But
Yeah.
it's so humid here
Yeah, no,
that it's despicable.
I will concede that, right? Because like I've even in Chicago, like obviously where humidity sucks. People the heat is so bad. Like I felt like I was in New York and I felt like I had to shower every 2 hours. I was like, it's like how do people live like this? I'm like I would shower all the
We don't
time.
go outside, and you have to use the you have to turn on your car. So I got the new car. I got this Honda Accord 2 years ago. I mean, I was splurging,
Yeah, high roller.
and you could turn on the car in advance and get it all warmed
Okay,
up.
so
You
that
press
helps.
the yeah. Well, especially with their kids, because kids automatically complain it's too hot. They don't even want to sit down.
Dad
So you
problems,
put
dad
that in,
problems, Fred.
and you get it a lot cooler, but you don't want to go outside now.
Okay, so this is a good transition for us because there's a lot of the hot, the fire. There's a lot of the NBA is not currently in season, but I would argue that I have been, if not more entertained, equally as entertained by NBA regular season as I am by the off season. Because between the changing of teams, obviously, if you haven't listened to Oliver Moroney, he was an awesome interview. We had him on the last podcast. You should listen to him. He was dropping a lot of knowledge, and I loved just his frankness, and he loves Fred, which is awesome. He loves Old Takes Exposed, which is so funny. Like he's so pro Old Takes, which is great. Perfect for us. Very on brand. And he was a great interview. But what's going on in the NBA right now is Kevin Durant, and everybody knows that Kevin Durant is still dealing with social media negativity about his leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State. It's been 2 years now. Like we're talking about two full seasons. Like I feel like we should probably get over it by now, but it keeps getting rehashed. And what happened yesterday, what happened on Wednesday, was CJ McCollum has a podcast. And Kevin Durant was on CJ McCollum's podcast. And they were going back and forth, and KD was kind of making fun of him a little bit about Portland getting swept. And Big Cat from Barstool tweeted at Kev at CJ and was like, "Are we allowed to call Kevin Durant the B word again?" B word being, "Are we allowed to call Kevin Durant a bitch again?" Right? And CJ goes on to say, "No, I think the B word like isn't really proper. Like we probably shouldn't use that word." But then proceeds to make this analogy about brothers in a gang and how Kevin Durant left his gang to go to another gang and then beat up that gang, like trying to make this analogy about brotherhood and gangs and the NBA. Okay, so in a nutshell, basically what happened was CJ McCollum called KD a bitch for leaving. We all know how CJ McCollum feels. He's made that very apparent on social media for a long time, but Kevin Durant was just on his podcast. So KD did not take too kindly to this and responded to CJ McCollum on Twitter for us all to see. And basically, what is going on right now is a complete shitstorm in the NBA. And it's awesome. And I love it. And it's super petty across the board from CJ and from Kevin Durant. And the biggest thing here is that KD is clearly still not okay with people questioning his leaving to Golden State, and I just don't know if he's ever gonna get over it. I really don't.
Well, he shouldn't be that upset about it because he wins every single year. So it's justified. The funny
I
thing to me
know.
about Kevin Durant's personality online is I don't mind him going after people. It's not a good look. It's not a good look, but he's not funny when he goes after people. He's not
No.
witty. He's not clever. He just comes across as a baby. He doesn't have any, there's no, I mean, maybe he's just not funny. Of a person, but it just doesn't. The
Yeah, for
personality
sure.
just makes him look bad in every way. I don't see how people can call him more likable for what he does online. So he probably should stop. It doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as you win. But the second day he loses,
for sure,
then he's going to have to deal with him going to the Warriors and then also losing, especially if they lose to somebody this year when they're supposed to be great. Then he'll go have two titles and other players will have had more. There's always something else. So I don't think that Durant should be concerned about what other people think. LeBron was concerned at first when he went to Miami, but he kind of got over it. And I think he's totally over it now because he's moved on to LA where it doesn't seem like they have the best chance of winning titles for the, at least the short term. So
sure.
I just think that, look, I don't know who he is, but he should probably get rid of his social accounts or at least not pay attention to him. But
yeah, I agree. I just think it's such a weird situation, right? Because he tweets at CJ and then he follows up, he tweets again at Jones on the NBA. This guy, his name's Nate Jones. He's an NBA guy, right? He tweets, all KD's response to criticism should be, I'm happy, that's all that matters. Nothing more, keep it simple. 2 years later and folks are still analyzing it. Folks going to disagree and they're never going to like the decision no matter what, so it's pointless to say anything more. The best part of this is that Nate Jones did not tag Kevin Durant in it. He did not tag Kevin Durant in this tweet. All he put, so Kevin Durant is searching KD.
Let's not assume that, but we don't.
This
have
guy's
to assume
not even verified.
People could be immediately tagging KD. I mean, I know how the snitches are because I get tagged.
Yeah, for sure.
Today Jarvis Landry said that the Browns are going to score 40 points a game and win the Super Bowl, and I literally got 200 notifications to it. I think that I think that everybody's tagging KD, but yeah, does he need to respond to all the off the cuff comments about him?
no. And then so KD responds to this dude. So this is KD's response. So they can keep talking, but I have to shut up? ? Sounds fishy to me, but you know what? I'm not even allowed to be on here since I'm in the NBA. Let me fall back.
First and foremost, it's just not a good.
It's so it's so childish because of all the leagues, literally, Kevin, of all the leagues. I'm calling you Kevin now, okay? Kevin, of all the leagues. Adam Silver is so promotional of you individualizing your athletes in the NBA. What do you even mean you're not allowed to be on here? That has never even been a conversation that's happened. Literally, never. This is a horrible response to literally a random dude on NBA Twitter. Like, dude, you don't have to respond to people.
Can you think of something better to say? Can he be funny? Can he
be a smartass? Yeah,
if he's already going to look bad by responding and be petty, you got to come up with something better. Get a coach. Get an online Twitter coach.
That's why I'm not even. That's why he. Phone a friend, KD.
And with our friends, a bunch of people who are active on Twitter, and some of them are always in the chat group asking us for responses. Is this good? Then they put it on their phone and they write it out. They go, look, what do you think? We all analyze it. Why can't Kevin Durant do that? And so he's got a WhatsApp group. Why can't he have a group that tells him to come up with a better response than that just lame response that literally, like, that's a response my 7-year-old son would give to me. If I told him that he has to do something, he'll say something about, like, well, you never do that with your sister, with Violet. You never do that with Violet.
It's
come up with something better.
Okay. So here's my question to you, Fred. And then we're going to outsource this to the people today. This is going to be the question of the day. So KD clearly needs a Twitter, like, behind the scenes person, right? He needs, like, either friends or somebody. So I'm gonna say, who on the Golden State Warriors, like, who do you think should be KD's guy? who should be the Twitter guy? Because I feel like Klay Thompson would be a great option. There's some reason, like,
he doesn't have it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. I think from a personality standpoint, I think Klay, from his interviews, seems like a total smartass. So I think he would be a great responder from behind the scenes where nobody knew it was him. They would think it was KD, and he would be totally okay being like guy behind the scenes.
He needs a guy who also – maybe he should have a chat group. And he needs a guy who's also experienced in making Twitter remarks, comments, smart-ass replies, fire replies, any type of replies that are good, where you get the – GIF replies that said from the comment from the gallery that would give you the dead or the Simpsons GIF that said he's already like that, with the reply GIFs that have the dude in the middle of the circle who takes a step back, something like that. So let's get maybe Klay Thompson would be good from a peripheral view. But yes. About Draymond Green? He's good at Twitter.
Very big, huge smartass in real life too.
And Andre Iguodala.
Yep.
He's good at Twitter too.
Underrated.
So what's his name is not on the team anymore. He wasn't that good, but he'd be a good guy for a silly perspective. Would have been what's the center's name? The Shaq, JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah. He's not on the team anymore. Boogie Cousins.
I know who he shouldn't ask, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus.
If DeMarcus Cousins is only advising KD, and not it's not in his own feelings. He maybe could give an unbiased and subjective perspective.
Here's probably what needs to happen, right? He needs a WhatsApp he needs a group chat with the guys.
He doesn't have a WhatsApp. He has a WhatsApp with his inner circle. He probably has a WhatsApp with like his agent and all that. Why can't, do you think that they wrote in the WhatsApp? Come on, Kevin, what are you doing? Or do they
I would, if that was my close friend, I would be like, dude, we need to talk.
Or is it something that it's not worth it for them to tell him that it's not funny. They say, oh, you got him there, KD. You got him. Just like blind support.
Then you know what those people are? Though you know who those people are? They're fake ass friends. Those are fake ass friends. I want real friends. I want real people. So KD, feel free. Brother, I'm telling you, I will do it for free. I will help you out and I will be completely honest and I'll be like, bro, that is a terrible response. Do not. I don't have to tell nobody. I will do it 100% behind the scenes. So, KD, this is me offering you some help, because clearly your friends are not great. All right. Before we move on to Petty Page, I want to know, so there's now like this little, like, because CJ McCollum has a podcast and Part of My Take got involved, and they're kind of like all like beefing in the podcast world. Is there like are we gonna have to start like a faux beef? Like, are we gonna have to like have an athlete on and like start something? Like, I feel like we need to heading into football season, like I feel like maybe I need to have like a Packers player on and just like start a beef with one of these guys.
It would be great, but you want to know something? Like, I'm kind of an honest guy. And and I'm a genuine guy, and I think we have genuine pod. So I just wouldn't want to force it.
We do.
I want it to come about.
No, we're gonna have her. You know, here's the thing. There are enough people that get angry about freezing cold takes. There's enough people that are angry online, mad online, especially Capital J journalists. So here's an extension out to those people, because we'd love to have you on the pod. So if you're mad online about getting old takes, you are our actual real life enemies. We're not, is not faux. Well, there are plenty of these people.
With John Heyman, get him on. He hates me.
Oh, oh man. Now that would be entertaining. All right, let's move on to Petty Page. Fred, what do you got for me this week?
Petty Page, ranked the pettiness, and Petty Page is the queen of petty online. She loves being petty. Actually, I would say that she more loves to analyze the pettiness than actually being petty. She has a 0 to 5 mm-hmm. rating scale. I'm going to name something that happened in the week that just happened. And Paige is going to rank the pettiest from 0 to 5. The scale is the formula, and the platform for the scale is very, very, and the protocols are very unknown. It's kind of off the cuff. So, all right.
It's off the cuff.
Kevin Love just signed a 4-year deal with the Cavs to remain in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And, of course, LeBron has left. Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, who's been ditched by LeBron twice now, and clearly they do not have much of a relationship. He tweeted after the signing was announced, which was 2 days ago, "The Cavs franchise is proud to extend the 5-time All-Star and NBA champion Kevin Love 4 additional years. Kevin Love has nothing but class since he arrived in Cleveland in 2014. We look forward to his leadership and the exciting years ahead. We grind every day," just like all caps, Cleveland. So let's assume.
So great.
He was going a little bit overboard to send a message to LeBron, which, I mean, I don't see how anyone's going to be sympathetic with Mr. Gilbert here. I guess some people in Cleveland will.
No. But
Petty Page, ranked the pettiness of Dan Gilbert's tweet about Kevin Love.
So I have to tell you, this is the tweet the single greatest petty tweet I've ever been tagged in. I got tagged in this so many times. I'm still getting tagged in it because everybody knows that the petty wars, and they know that I love pettiness, right? Two, everybody knows that Dan Gilbert is like a scorned lover, right? Like, he is the definition of, like, one of the all-time pettiest moments in the history of sports is the letter he wrote after LeBron left for Miami. So this was, he can say whatever he wants. He particularly used all class since he's been here. He definitely went above and beyond to take a shot at LeBron. Is it a 5? No. That was his letter about LeBron was like a 25 out of 5, like ridiculous levels, like stupid level of petty. This is like a 3.5. It's good. I like the, like, not taking a direct shot at LeBron, but just kind of like being out there on Twitter. I like the all caps Cleveland, we grind, like Cleveland. Like, I like that stuff. I think it's a good dig. I'm sure LeBron probably saw the tweet. I'm sure he kind of laughed to himself as he was drinking some $1,500 bottle of wine in Los Angeles. And you know what? I'm a big K Love fan, so I got love for K Love, and I'm happy that he's getting paid. So 3.5 out of 5. Dan Gilbert, never change, bro. I'm highly entertained by you and your petty.
But it was 3.5. It was the best one you've ever gotten, you said.
Yeah, it was the one I got tagged in the most, and I don't know if it's tagged in the most. Not the one, not the best one I've ever. No, that obituary we got was the best one I've ever seen. That one where that lady wrote that whole, the kids wrote about their mom in that obituary. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like, I can't believe. Yeah. You remember that one? That's an all-timer. But this one's the one I got tagged in the most. Like, I don't even know. I would have to, it's at least 50 times. Like, I've gotten tagged in it so many times. And I'm like, man, people are really on the lookout. Like, I think what it is there's a lot of LeBron haters, right? So, like, they enjoy, like, seeing this pettiness towards LeBron. So I think that's why I got tagged in it.
Yeah, I mean, anything with Dan Gilbert, LeBron's going to be substantially, it's going to get a lot of action. There's no chance that it won't. Okay, let's move on to this one. It is something that has to do with the San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs, of course, last week traded Kawhi Leonard. Straight up for, not actually straight up, but essentially for DeMar DeRozan. And, of course, Kawhi and the Spurs haven't been talking for a long time. It's some sort of weird breakup that no one really knows exactly what happened. Just seems very strange, especially because Kawhi only has 1 year left in his deal and could have just played out his deal in San Antonio this year and then gone and done whatever he wanted. But the Spurs sent out a press release. First of all, the Spurs said goodbye to Danny Green, who was part of the trade.
Yeah, that was great.
And goodbye to Kawhi. And Danny Green had a much bigger thank you in the photo that the Spurs sent out. They sent out two separate ones. And then the Spurs sent out a press release. And this is from Tom Haverstraw, who analyzed the press release on his Twitter account. He said, the Spurs omitted Kawhi's 2014 Finals MVP, his All-Stars, his two Defensive Player of the Years, and his 2014 title in their press release. I don't know why the Spurs would do this, but I mean, just seriously, just go out in style. I mean, come on. But all right, Petty Page, rank the Spurs press release.
So I'm going to try and give the Spurs a total amount of pettiness, because there was the photo, there was the omission of kind of all the accolades. Like, just in general, usually when somebody gets traded, like a traditional press release, they like name all their accolades. And like, winning Finals MVP is pretty much the highest accolade you can get. Like, that's a big deal. And they omitted that. They also like compared, I saw people comparing past instances. I saw the one that they had from Tony Parker. I mean, it was there definitely was purposeful omission of certain accolades for Kawhi. So the reason this one only gets a 3 from me, okay, it's getting a 3 out of 5, is because I really, as dumb as this situation is, right, because I don't have another word to use it, I until Kawhi comes out and tells me that something happened other than Tony Parker making a comment about his injury that he probably shouldn't have, I need some serious understanding as to why he's walking away from $50+ million more on a contract to play for Greg Popovich. Like, I need something, dude. Like, I need to hear something. Like, because what's going on right now is just dumb. So the Spurs, I side with, but they failed me here, right? Like, they could have been extraordinarily petty. The photo thing was kind of funny, definitely made me laugh, but like a 3 out of 5. Like, you could have hit a home run. You could have done something like really great. I don't know what that is off the cuff right now, but I definitely know that something better could have been done. So 3 out of 5, press release is a press release. It's not sexy for me. So 3 out of 5.
I mean, look, I don't get it. I just don't understand why the Spurs, you thought about it. You thought about long and hard that you were going to exclude all this stuff. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Just, it's not that hard to just be, do something that's not going to bring attention. But if you want to do it, you want to do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to do it, go all the way out, not just like some little omission on a press release. Like, that was like, that's why it's like, I mean, it's petty, but
the
it's
whole
like,
situation
not great. So it's a 3.
Steeped in pettiness. There's so much
100%.
Pettiness,
I hope
pettiness
that
pettiness was an oil. It would be just wiped all over these teams and Kawhi. They'd be so oiled up.
Yeah, no, this is crazy. This is crazy levels. Crazy levels.
Yeah, if pettiness was smoke, this would be like a kitchen.
this is so good. Right. This is so fun. Loaded vaults. This is your time to shine.
I saw this other one the other day. I even posted it.
Okay.
Gary Sanchez for the Yankees at the end of the game against the Devil Rays. He's the catcher for the Yankees. He didn't run out a ball that was hit, and he probably would have beaten it out if he didn't loaf it. And he's always got a reputation in New York being of kind of a loafer. So he took a lot. He took a lot of crap for it from everybody. And the New York Post even had a headline on the sports, Gary Manilof.
Oh my God. That's
so
funny.
The next day, the next morning, 9:17 AM, the New York Yankees. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, is this the Austin Romine? This is good.
Congrats to the Yankees # Heart and Hustle Award winner, Austin Romine. Now, were they going to post that anyway? What's the timing on that?
Yo, I have to believe, first and foremost, I know my girl War Jess Eagle, who runs the Yankees social media. So, God, I hope, and I'm going to find
out. I'm going to go straight
to the source. I'm going to get the inside scoop on that, because that is – I didn't know – because I got tagged in that one, but I didn't know the context of Gary not running out a ball and then them doing that. So that is – that is exceptional petty if that was on – if they did that on purpose, right? Like, if they already had that time, like, if they already had it scheduled and it just happened to be, like, a funny timing thing, it's not really as – it's not really petty, right? Because it's just, like, happened to be. But if they did that to literally troll their own catcher, that is amazing. That is unbelievable levels of petty. Like, the official Yankees account is trolling their own players. Like, that is – that's awesome. So that's a
whoever posted
that's
it,
true.
Your friend probably. She must have known. Like, maybe she had it ready. Maybe she would have posted it no matter what. Maybe anytime that there's an award, I don't even know what this award is. But anytime there's an award given out, they post it right away. But she had to have known. Wow, this is gonna be good.
It sounds like something they made up to troll Gary Sanchez. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Please.
I'm gonna find out. But I'm going to give her a 5 out of 5 for that,
bias.
In hopes that she did it on purpose. Yeah, bias, whatever. You can call it out. That is exceptional if she did it on purpose. And I hope the whole digital department was in on
such
it. That's
bias.
So good. So
okay.
good. So such bias. Now it's time for you, Fred. Loaded vaults. So this is what happens when we're heading into football season, okay? So I had a question basically for Fred. Is loaded vault means there's a ton of tweets, right? So if a certain scenario plays out, Fred is going to unleash this vault. So the load, it's getting loaded, and we're heading into football season. So that was my question. Are there any loaded vaults heading into NFL/college football season?
There's plenty. I'm still kind of collecting them all and gathering them together, but there's a lot of Bears hype. I don't care.
Oh,
is everyone just setting themselves up for disaster? What's the hype? They got the new coach.
So here's the thing.
Everyone assumes is great.
New coach.
And then you have
the
quarterback. Who? Why is he getting the benefit of the doubt? Setting himself up for disaster.
Here's the thing, Fred. You have to understand that Jay Cutler was the greatest Bears quarterback of all time. Like, that's the context of how of quarterbacks in
Jim
Bears
McMahon?
History. Like, if you go – no, I mean, from a talent perspective, Jay Cutler's a way more talented quarterback than Jim McMahon. Like, love you, Jim, but you have the greatest defense of all time, dude. Like, sorry. And probably the greatest running back of all time. Like, sorry, but, like, really? So the Bears hype is – and this is, like, trying to take my Bears fandom hat off, but it's hard. There is hype surrounding the Bears because there's just been so much negativity around the team for the last 3 seasons. That's like any little bit of positivity feels good, right? And they're healthy. And last year, their offensive line was like, they've had a pretty good offensive line. Jordan Howard's a good running back. They actually have like real wide receivers that people know this season, which is helpful. You know, like if you play in the NFL, you should probably have some pretty decent wide receivers. And everybody, I think the biggest excitement is like the fact that they drafted Trubisky so high and they now brought in an offensive minded coach. Like, that's pretty much where the hype stems from, right? Like, people are just excited to see them. I assume that this team is going to be like 8-8. I would be super psyched if they were 9-7. But the Packers are still the Packers, right? Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. The Minnesota Vikings were a great team last year. Added Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback this year. So when I look at that division, I'm like, yeah, playing those teams. And Detroit's not a bad team, right? And Matt Patricia's new head coach. Like, I think there's a lot of excitement there. So from a Bears perspective, like, I get why there's hype. I would say more so that it's just like people have a little bit of positivity. So maybe that's getting stretched too far. So Bears fans, settle down. Right? Like, just settle yourselves. Like, that's coming from a Bears fan, so don't get mad at me. Like, just settle yourselves. Like, we don't need to freak out here.
I'm wondering what the – you guys, Bears fans are going to just talk themselves into something that's – I don't understand the Trubisky
No,
thing.
No,
like,
you're
– what's so good about Trubisky? I don't get it. Why can't
– It's the unknown, Fred, right?
Be good first. He was. They played last
because
year.
Why?
He didn't look like he was amazing.
No. But the assumption is that he's got raw talent, right? And he has an offensive minded coach. And there's a lot of people saying the right things, you know, like the whole press conference BS,
wait till
all that stuff. It's like, preseason.
Look at the offense. It's a noticeable difference. Everything, the whole morale here is totally different.
Dude, you're going to old take it. You're going to old.
I'm sorry. I have been researching a substantial amount of preseason takes, like the great preseason. I got one.
Oh, you were
2010. I'll just give you a taste. To 2010, it says it's Jake.
Oh God,
killing it. This Browns team.
Oh my God, yes.
Starting quarterback for the Browns 2010 stunk, but at the beginning of the year, even during the preseason, I think it was the first game. But there's so many good ones. I am going to do a lot of stuff on that, and I plan writing at least two, three articles. It's a series. It's going to be like offensive, defensive coaches, like a new offensive coordinator comes in and they go 7-for-7 in the first preseason, in the first drive. And the entire freaking internet is going, look at the new philosophy. And
yo, this is fantastic. I cannot wait for this series to come out. And also, I cannot wait for you to inevitably old take me, because as I simultaneously tell Bears fans to relax, I am going to lose my collective mind during preseason. Oh, not Trestman. I'm going to be hype squad week two of this year if the Bears look halfway decent, dude. Like, I'll sit here and I'll be like, yeah, everybody should relax, and then 2 weeks in, I'm gonna get three old takes in a row because the Bears are gonna be 0-2, and it's gonna be like, well, Bears 16-0 this season because I'm gonna be an idiot. Like, that's just I tell myself to be a right, like, don't be such a fan, like, just relax, and then football season starts and I'm out of my mind. So I can't be controlled, Fred. Are there any other loaded vaults that we need to talk about? I feel like there might be some in the NBA.
To keep going with it at the air.
We'll update that throughout the preseason because it's going to get better and better, right? Like, there's only going to be so much. There's going to be so much.
Oh, yeah.
Good
I remember
stuff.
Last year, one of the better ones was DeShone Kizer. DeShone Kizer was great.
He
had a good game. And I think they had Osweiler on the team during the preseason.
You know one that is in the fantasy world right now, which I'm gonna collect the tweets for you,
Girly.
Because I know that it's gonna be no Tom Brady being out of the top 10 is a fantasy
he
football quarterback.
Times a game. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm like, what? I looked at these numbers. I'm like, and we're talking about some of the big analysts. They're like, and today I listened to an AFC. Preview, and they're like, well, you know, the Patriots might just win 10 games this year. I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you got there? It might be the time that Tom Brady slows down. I'm like, I'm gonna old take everybody on the fantasy side. Like, it's gonna be so good.
Prediction: Brady gets hurt bad, and then they would have used Jimmy. They could have used Jimmy, and Jimmy's gonna tear it up with San Francisco. he just gets hurt for some reason.
Off the cuff.
Okay.
I like it.
Save it.
Save it. Any NBA loaded vaults we need to discuss?
I'm sick of NBA.
Okay. Yeah. You're sick of the NBA. All right. Let's end the podcast. Let's go off your chest. So Fred and I get like a minute to 90 seconds to annihilate something that's going on and bothering us in the sports world. Fred, I'll let you go first. So what do you have? What do you got to get off your chest?
So the new meme now, I think that there was a time where where a team would a player would leave a team, like LeBron James left Cleveland the first time, where everyone would start lighting up the jersey and letting it on fire, and someone would film it and post it to Twitter. Well, now the new thing is to pretend that you're going to light up the jersey and then leave a note that says thank you. And the first time it was a big surprise and it was funny, it was cute, it was nice. Now everybody does it. Everybody does it.
And yeah, that's annoying.
I'm done with it. And now this is very hypocritical because I have a gimmick online too, and I love the KD next chapter meme every time, even though it's the same thing, and people get tired of it. Nevertheless,
doesn't matter. It always makes me laugh.
Was it the Sports Center tweeted out? Someone did that with Kawhi, a Spurs Kawhi jersey, and Sports Center account tweeted it out and said, and wrote that that was a huge surprise. That took a different turn. No, no, it didn't. You knew what was going to happen. It would have taken a huge turn if they would have lit the jersey on fire. Everybody does the note.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Who's running the SportsCenter account? They need to get your pal from the Yankees to run that account, because the problem is that it's like you're out of touch. Do you not watch the fact that this is done every single day whenever anybody leaves? It was not a surprise at all. I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it did. It's just something that got to me. And for 5 seconds, I was really pissed and I posted about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then someone replied to me, the greatest. Listen, do any of you ever, I'm going to give this guy so much credit. The greatest unfollow. I get so many unfollow replies. Because a lot of people hate me and they start to get annoyed at me. But this one guy replies to me after I posted about that. He wrote, he probably was a Spurs fan. I'm so sick of this account. Unfollow. Fuck you.
Holy cow.
I congratulate
him. Oh my God.
It was one of the best unfollow replies I've ever had. Yeah.
Man. Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. It's off your chest time, and you're allowed to be mad about whatever you want to be mad at. And it doesn't matter if we're hypocritical, because who cares? It's our thing and we can do whatever we want. Mine is, so Fred, this actually started with Fred, right? So Fred tags me in this tweet from this Iowa fan being nasty about Scott Frost. Okay. So obviously I had like 3 cups of coffee. I was fired up. And I was like, I'm gonna entertain this one today. You know why? I miss football and I gotta argue with somebody. So all of a sudden, and I have a lot of friends that went to the University of Iowa. I went to school in Chicago. It's a very popular university for people to go to. For whatever reason, I don't know why anybody would ever want to go to Iowa, but whatever. So this fan proceeds to, then another fan gets in my mentions telling me that Iowa has dominated Nebraska over time.
I hate
the word overtime. Overtime. Okay. So here's a little thing for Iowa fans. Okay. So my off my chest is Iowa fans in general. Nebraska fans don't care about you. You are not our rival. You have never been our rival. The rival for Nebraska has always been traditionally Oklahoma and Colorado, and even sometimes throughout history Texas. And now if you ask Nebraska fans who they hate most, they hate the University of Wisconsin. Okay, so the Iowa, you have to be relevant. Iowa has literally never been relevant ever in the history of college football. They have never had a decade of time where they have been so good. Colin Cowherd called them the fake ID of college football, and there is literally not a better way to describe that football program than the fake ID of college football. Nebraska, this guy I annihilated on Twitter. He had no response back because he said overtime. So I enlightened him to the all-time record between Nebraska and Iowa, which is 29 wins for Nebraska and 16 for Iowa. And traditionally, the scores were ridiculous. I also enlightened him on the fact that Nebraska is the 4th winningest college football program in all of college football, 1st in conference titles, and 9 in national titles. And I was willing to go as far as comparing them to Iowa, but I didn't think he wanted to see how poorly they ranked. So today, my off my chest is University of Iowa. Go away, get piped, don't be in my mentions. I hate Wisconsin and Ohio State, and I don't care about you, Iowa.
Didn't I?
Literally, I don't care about you.
Nebraska moved to the Big Ten. Didn't they try to make like a whole big shtick with Iowa versus Nebraska? It's on every Friday of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and now they're not even going to do it anymore. Next year, now they're going to go back to playing against Oklahoma.
I like the Oklahoma. No, but thank God. Conference, you play in the same conference. Nebraska and Iowa.
I know. Oklahoma, I just like it's like
Nebraska, Colorado, yeah.
For sure. It was one of the best rivals in all of college football. But it's what happened was I remember, I was in college the first year Nebraska moved to the Big Ten, okay? Which they beat Iowa both years I was in college, just in case you're wondering, Iowa fan that seems to forgot those 2 years, okay? When we moved into the Big Ten, I remember my friends from Iowa were like, oh, yeah, big rivalry. I was like, what are you guys talking about? It was like instantaneously they started talking shit to us, and we were like, where is this coming from? Like, we don't have any beef with you guys. Like, we don't care about you. And it was like all of a sudden, like, this like rivalry started, and I was like, yeah, this is weird for me because I don't really care about you guys. Like, this is a weird rivalry for me. And Iowa fans were all about it. And I was like, yeah, nah, like I don't really have any hatred towards Iowa. Like, we just got to the Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just transfer over and then all of a sudden, like, years of rivalries just go away, right? Like, the Blackhawks and the Red Wings, they're not in the same – they don't compete against each other, not in the same conference anymore. I don't forget all the years that I hated Detroit. Like, it's not like it just went away.
There's
like,
some forced – you can't just do that. Rivalries.
They can't –
LSU and Arkansas have this too. They do this at the end of the year.
Yeah, good point.
And they
have
this game, and they try to make this weird trophy like a boot that looks like Arkansas.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But then there's rivalries that were split up that people get really upset about. Like there's Texas A&M don't play each other anymore, and those two teams hate each other. Then there's I'm from South Florida, and Miami and Florida hate each other so much, but they never play.
Yeah,
because the Gators stop playing them, and Miami always gives us crap about them. But they Miami and Florida hate each other so much. Yeah, there's all these forced rivalries.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Rivalries when the teams stop playing. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's how, like, Oklahoma and Nebraska, like, especially because they don't – I think it's next season. I think it's 2019 they start playing each other. If Nebraska – especially if Nebraska, if Scott Frost gets the program to a successful point by then, that's going to be automatic. Like, right – like, you – like, ESPN, whoever has that game, they are going to be salivating because they have so many highlights of those two teams playing each other. And the what a great rivalry that was. Like, that's going to be awesome. So, yeah, over time, I don't like fake rivalries in any sport. Like, there's a lot of those. Like, Arizona has a lot of those. Like, they hate L.A., and L.A. is like, yeah, we don't care about you. Like, that happens a lot, you know, those fake rivalries. So, yeah, I just don't – in general, I don't like fake rivalries, and in general, I don't like Iowa. Like, go away. Sorry, I'm not entertained by you. Fred? This was fun. I'm glad we're back on a roll. We got football season coming up, which is super exciting. There's going to be so much content, so many things to talk about. How can everybody follow you on Instagram? Because they need to see all the different stuff you're putting up on the gram, and then Facebook as well.
Freezing Cold Takes on Instagram and Facebook. And at Old Takes Exposed on Twitter.
On Twitter sphere. And you guys can follow me at @_sports_page on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow me on Facebook, but I don't really post on Facebook that much because I don't really like Facebook. I'm in a fight with Zuckerberg, but only on Facebook, not on Instagram. Fred, thanks for jumping on the pod, and we'll be back next week.